reading this morning will be from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Now it's my turn. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here. Good to see everybody. I hope that everybody has had a good week and that you're ready to start another great week. We've had a lot of things go on. Have you noticed a difference in the foyer? Or as they say up north, the foyer? Have y'all noticed that? It looks pretty nice, doesn't it? Dude, we've got some good people here that have some real skills. And I appreciate everybody that was involved in getting that started. We're not finished. We've still got a lot to do, but it looks pretty nice. It is so good to look out here and see some folks back that have been sick. And to see we got a number of visitors. We're honored to have you. We're thankful that you've come. And we hope that this period of worship will not only glorify God and that he will accept it, but that you will be encouraged by having been here this morning. Hope that you feel welcome, because you are. And I hope you won't run off as soon as we're dismissed so we have a chance to say hello. We'd love to see you and love to see more of you. The text that was read this morning really is a follow-up to Hebrews 11, Faith's Hall of Fame, as it's often called, and a list of people that went through some real hardships and yet showed the faith that they had in God. And they resisted the temptation to sin. Although everyone sins, yet these that are listed here in the context of which they're stories are found, resisted temptation to sin or to give up or to walk away from God. But sin is really easy to do. And the question we're asking this morning is, why is sin so easy? Why is it so easy? We've made a commitment to serve God. We have truly committed ourselves to being good people, to doing what's right. Our daily Bible readers is up. The numbers just keep going up. I'm so glad to see that. Sunday school attendance is very good. It could be better. All of you could be here. If you could be, that'd be great. But we're not going to browbeat or harass or in any way that. We just want you to know we're glad you're here. But there's a lot of exciting things because you've made a commitment to serve God. You've made the commitment. Now, I didn't do that, did I? Thank you. That was you? Would you leave my PowerPoint alone? Well, we need to cast the demons out of that thing, that's for sure. Somebody get hold of an exorcist, and let's get that right. Y'all don't need to be seeing what's ahead. Then you won't know when I get there. It's the easiest thing in the world to sin. It really is. You don't have to do anything, or you can just do what you want. We're going to talk about why it's so easy to sin and how to overcome it. Let's just face the fact. Now I'm not doing that. Johnny, not Malone, good. He gave me the knife. Everybody's saying, Johnny Malone, way to go. No, it was Johnny Good, way to go. You did not give me a knife that was cursed, did you? I mean, you know, it supposedly will cut a sermon, but let's just get this thing right. I was just showing I still got it. All right, it's easy as pie to sin. Let's go over to the next slide. Y'all have seen it twice. Oh my, I pushed my button and now nothing happens. Engineering. Y'all wondering what in the world is that old 49 Chevy sitting there for? Well, I want you to look at the hood. See the shape of that thing? It's in two pieces. It's made out of two bent pieces of heavy gauge steel. And they're spot welded together with a seam that goes right down the middle of that thing. Remember that. I was a young teenager back in Hackleburg, and it was a snowy, cold winter day. And my brother David and I wanted to go sledding, but we didn't have a sled. Now, we lived on top of a very steep, woodsy hill. It was had a steep hill and lots of trees, bunch of trees. But off about 300 yards from the house, we found a spot that had a pretty good path that we felt we could sled down that thing. It's fairly safe, you know, trees, but a path. And so we tramped down through that path a time or two, and then we had an old 49 Chevy hood, and we tied a rope to the front of that thing, and we drug that down. Boy, it was heavy. But we drug that down to the top of that hill away from the house, and we got on that thing, and we scooted and scooted, and we took off down that hill. And I mean, it was working pretty well. We slid fast. And going downhill was so easy. But going uphill was tough. Pulling that it had to weigh more than 50 pounds. And pulling that sled up that hill time after time after time. Now, we had young legs that could go all day, but we were getting all shaky and everything. And then on what we found out later would be the last run of the day, we didn't know it at the time, we got back up on the hill for that, ride down easy, drag it up hard. We were moving fast, but we hit a bump. And we veered off the course and right into a big oak tree. Ladies and gentlemen, that hood split in half. It broke those spot welds. That hood broke in two pieces. David and I shot off to each side. That was it. The hood was done. It was easy to slide down the hill. But that was the end of our sled. So we both had to drag uphill two little pieces. Downhill was easy, but uphill was hard. Why is it so easy to sin? Are you having to push the button, or am I? You're having to push the button. If I hold this up, you push the button. Why is it so easy to sin? Water runs downhill. Static electricity takes the path of least resistance. Gravity pulls, wind pushes, and the clock just keeps on ticking. Why is sin so easy? Well, it's so easy. Oh, this is frustrating. If you're doing something back there, stop it. See, this is not good. This is not good. Back up one, Ken. There we go. It's easy because we're never far from it. Sin is all around us. Let's just face it. Every direction you look, it's easy to see sin going on. And it's because we live in a sin-filled world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. But if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the same temptations that Satan used on Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the same temptations that he used on Jesus in the wilderness. And it's the same temptations he uses on us every time we're tempted today to do wrong. Sin is all around us, and people all around us are giving into it. And it's easy for us to give into it too, because we're never far from it. Next. And also, it's easy because you don't have to do anything to be guilty of sin. In James 4:17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. You know, we were talking in Sunday school class about benevolence. And the fear is that we're going to fail to help somebody in genuine need. And so many times we will take a loss. Many times we will suffer a loss. We will get hoodwinked. Pardon the term to hood. We will get hoodwinked by somebody that's fairly bright and pretty good liar, and they will misuse the help that we have generously and freely offered. And yet, it's easy to get cynical, and Charles was warning us about that. Don't get cynical. Don't get jaded to think, well, I can't help anybody, you know, because there are a lot of con artists out there, but there are also a lot of people that just do not know how to manage their money, and they get into trouble, or tragedy happens to them, and they can't help it, and they get into trouble, and they need help, and we need to be ready to help in time of need. And so all we have to do to sin is do nothing. Do nothing. and you can sin. Next. Also, sin is easy because men tend to trust what they think more than what God has said. Many times it's because we're ignorant of what God has said. We don't know what God has said. Even those that have a commitment to do God's will don't know. They think they know, but they really don't. And they go by what they think. They go by their judgment. Well, in Proverbs 16:25, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends of it are the ways of death. Furthermore, the person who labors, labors for himself. The hungry mouth drives him on. That's the very next verse. Meaning, we are looking out for ourselves. We're going by our own ideas, our own judgments, our own opinions. I've heard people try to justify, I'll just give an example, drinking. Another example, smoking dope. Another example, pornography. Another example, white lies. I've heard people try to justify all these things because they come up with what they consider rational arguments to justify their position, and the end result is they are just grasping at straws. They're looking for some way to be able to go to the next one, to do what they want to do. I mean, we want what we want. And that's an easy way to sin. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, for the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, repent, so that I should heal them. James 1:14-15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Sin is easy. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, when it's germinated, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Hebrews 3:12 beginning. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Why is it so easy to sin? Sin does not give you a straight up answer. Sin does not tell you the truth. Sin does not show you what the end result is going to be. Sin does not reveal to you the consequences of the choices that you and I make. Sin is deceptive, and if we continue to give into it and give into it and give into it, our hearts are going to get hardened, and it's going to be very, very difficult to plow through that hard earth to get to the soft inner part of the heart that still has life, because the outside will die, and you have to cut, you have to do heart surgery to actually help a person to go back to what they're supposed to be. Sin, very dangerous stuff. Easy to sin because we tend to trust our own views and we want what we want. And next, why is that? We are also influenced by others. We're influenced by others. 2 Timothy 1:13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. King Solomon, wisest man that ever lived. You know how we know that? God said so. God gave him wisdom beyond anyone else. But it says in 1 Kings 11:1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, and God had warned them about intermarrying with the pagans, with the infidels, with the unbelievers. Don't marry these foreign people. They will bring their gods. Well, that's exactly what happened in verse 4 and 5. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David. Now, if it was so easy for Solomon to be turned, we need to be on guard. This is why over and over the Bible says, watch. It says, be sober. It says, open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart. Pay attention to what God says. Over and over and over it says this. All right, go to the next one. I'm going to share with you a classic example of how easy it is to sin. Turn to Psalm 73. We're going to look at this psalm for just a few minutes, and then we're going to talk about how to overcome. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart, but as for me, he's good to Israel, but I don't know if he's good to me. As for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death. That's what he thought. There are no pangs in their death. Lazarus died. Rich man died and was buried. See? Good funeral. There are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. This is what he thought. This is what he was seeing with his own eyes. He was trusting his opinions, trusting his judgment. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Oh, really? Well, that's what it looks like. I mean, doesn't it look that way to us? They seem to be happy. When you see them on TV, they got their jet skis and their big homes, and they got their fancy cars, and they got all this money going around. They can go anywhere they want, stay as long as they want, do whatever they want. It's not fair. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. You ever seen a bug-eyed fella? Kind of overweight, you know, bug-eyed. Well, there you go. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. It's not fair. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily and nothing happens to them. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly who are at ease. They increase in riches, even with all the sinful behavior, sinful hearts, and yet they continue to prosper and they continue to do well. You know why? Dirty money is easy money. Did you know that? Honest money is tough. Tough to come by. But dirty money is easy money. You want easy money? You're going to have to be dirty to get it. Now there are maybe exceptions. God will bless in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. But as a general rule, as a proverb, dirty money is easy money. Then verse 13, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've done all this for nothing. How many people have you heard say, you know, I tried to be a Christian, but it was a waste of time because, look, everybody around me was doing well and I was going down the tubes. I was falling apart and I'm so happy now that I just gave it up and there is no God and the Bible is just a book written by men and how do we know anything about this? I mean, come on, it's something that happened so long ago. History rewrites and the victor is the one who writes history. I mean, we just can keep going on and on and on finding excuses. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I've been plagued. But the rich are not plagued. I've been chastised every morning. They get away with murder. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I looked at what God says, and then I saw their end. I saw what's going to happen to these people. And oh, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad I didn't give in to the temptation to be like them. I'm so thankful because I saw what's going to happen to them. I saw their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. I don't ever want the word terror associated with me and my life. You know? I don't want that. But they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. In other words, when God has had enough, he's going to deal with these people. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. Why? I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He came to his senses. He realized the truth. The truth will set you free. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Isn't that an amazing psalm? It just sums up the struggles of life. It really does. So you sum it up like this. It's so easy to sin because we have to work hard not to sin. It's easier to just go with the flow. It's easier to follow the crowd and think and act like everyone else. It's easier to go downhill than to do that hard uphill pull. It's just easier. So next slide. One more. So how do we overcome sin? How do we do it? One more. We acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge it. Admit it. In Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Next. Not only acknowledge it, but lay it aside. Repent. Turn from it. Hebrews 12:1-2, our text this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And anything that would take us away from God, anything that would distract us from God, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, you lay it aside, you run the race, you look to Jesus. Your eyes are focused on the prize. You look to Jesus, recognizing He's the one who created the opportunity for us to be saved. And He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and now He sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus paid the sin debt for us, and He paid His dues to save us. And we must pay our dues by repenting of sin when we commit it, by turning away from sin so we won't do it. Next, why did the snake handler get bitten? Huh? Because he was a snake handler. Think about it. This isn't rocket surgery, to quote a famous president. Okay? It's easy to understand. Snake handler gets bit because he's a snake handler. You play with sin, you're going to get bit. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You give in to the easiness, the temptation of sin that's disguised in such beautiful packaging, and you're going to be bitten. Next. Third. Next. We confess to God our sins, and we seek His forgiveness. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's hard to understand anything more clearly than that. We know we've sinned. We confess our sins to God. We know we give in to it. It's so easy. We do it. By either not doing or by doing what we shouldn't. All the things. But we confess to God our sins. And we know that God is faithful to forgive us. Next. And we look to God's word for direction. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young man cleanse his way? Young men, are you listening? You want to know how to cleanse your way? How could a young man cleanse his way? Well, You take heed according to God's word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you look to God's word for direction. Next, choose not to sin. Choose. Don't go with the flow. Don't just wait and see what happens. Make a choice ahead of time. I'm not going to do it. Do you know how to break a bad habit? You start by making a decision. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you remember your decision. Every time you're tempted to go back to that habit, remember the decision you made. That's how you do it. You choose not to do it. Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 12 through 14, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from sin, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You're no longer a slave of sin. If you've obeyed the gospel, if you've become a child of God, then by God's grace and His mercy, sin no longer controls you. You cannot say, I couldn't help it. You can't say that. I couldn't help it. No, you have the power. You and I, we have access to the power of Almighty God. There is no reason for us to give in to sin except our own weakness and our own forgetfulness, forgetting who we are and whose we are, forgetting the commitment we've made, forgetting the consequences of a moment's pleasure, forgetting all this. No, that's why we have to just make the choice. I am not going to sin. Next, we also need to avoid the evil influences. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's the New King James. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. The King James says, evil companionship corrupts good morals. There you go. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I am a tall fella. I am. I am tall and I'm not fat. Because I look at me and I say, okay, I compare myself by myself and I'm the norm. You folks are just too skinny. I am tall because I can look at people shorter than me and conclude I'm tall. See? We can do this sort of thing. Oh, the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men, and especially like this rascal right here. We compare ourselves among ourselves. We are not wise. That's just a foolish thing to do. Next, the last point, how to keep from sin. Stay away from it. Why did the little boy keep falling off the bed at night? Anybody want to tell me? He was sleeping too close to the edge. How close to the edge of this bed can I lay and not fall off? Get in the middle of the bed, you will not fall off the bed. What is the safest distance from a hungry lion? Next. Huh? What's the safest distance? As far away as you can get. I saw on television one time a news report. A woman was being pulled through the bars at a zoo by a polar bear because she wanted to get close enough to take a real close-up. And she got a close-up. That thing got her by the thigh and nearly ripped her leg off before they could tranquilize that bear and get her out of its grasp. How far do I want to get from a lion to stay safe? As far as I can get. In next, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10 says, be sober. There you go. Be vigilant. There you go. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not alone in this. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Listen to that again. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a little while, after you've endured the temptations, after you've struggled through the heartaches and heartbreaks that come in this life, may the God of all grace perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Next. If we've learned anything about sin, we've seen today that it's the easiest thing in the world to do. We really have to make a strong effort to avoid it. We have to really work at it to avoid sin. This is why God keeps telling us, be watchful, be sober, be vigilant, be awake, be aware. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has eyes to see, let him see. He that has an open heart, understand what God says. We have to be very serious and very humble in our obedience to God. We cannot be stubborn. Next. Psalm 32, 8 through 10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye, meaning I'll watch out for you. I'll make sure the way is clear ahead. I'm going to take care of you. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Don't be like that. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Stubborn? Yeah. Hard-headed? That's man. Slow learner? Yeah. Israel is a classic example of that, and so are we. And how many times have we tried to do something right and end up doing something wrong? How many times have we tried to break a bad habit only to find ourselves falling right back into that same old trap that Satan so cleverly lays? How many times have we made excuses and just had an attitude of indifference, or even worse, procrastination? I'll deal with that someday. Don't be like the mule who has no understanding, that has to be forced to do what's right. Don't be like that. And finally, Psalm 90, verse 10 through 12. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet your boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Brethren, it's so easy to sin, so don't take the easy way. Push yourself, push upward, push onward, and choose to do what's right, and God will indeed richly bless you. If there is sin in your life today, you have an opportunity to do something about it. I hope you'll take advantage of it. If you're not a Christian, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith that He is the Son of God, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. God will wash your sins away and add you to the family, to the body of Christ. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, and heaven will be your home if you will walk with God and spend your life in service to Him. If you've not done that, you need to do that. Don't wait. Don't let this moment pass. If you've already done that, but you've allowed sin to dwell in you again, you've been cold-hearted, indifferent, lukewarm, or even rebellious, you need to repent and come back to God before it's too late. Confess to God your sin and pray to God He will forgive you and restore you to that right relationship with Him. If there's a way we can help you today to make things right with God, come now as we stand and sing.